is about to face a major test, with the national capital, New Delhi, going to the polls on February the 7th. To give us the inside story, I'm joined by Hindul Sengupta, Fortune India's editor at large. He's currently in Melbourne for the Australia-India Youth Dialogue. Welcome to RN Drive.
Thank you very much.
When Modi was elected in May last year, India projected him as a sort of kind of superstar, really, a kind of symbol of better governance. Has he delivered?
Well, it's too early to say that, essentially. You know, we are a country of 1.2 billion people. What we can successfully say at this point in time is that he has successfully driven a new sense of enthusiasm. And that gets reflected in everything. You look at our stock markets, for instance, and how they've risen. You look at the number of projects that the government has been able to kickstart, for instance, in trying to revive the economy. So there's a lot of enthusiasm. But because we're a very large country, it'll take time for things to actually fructify on the ground. But there is still a huge amount of hope, aspiration and enthusiasm. I call it per capita hope. So our per capita hope at the moment is very high. But is he going to be successful finally? We just don't know as of now.
Do you think the expectations are too high, or that people expect that the pace should happen, you know, immediately?
Look, I just want to give some perspective to this. You have to understand that India is a young country. A large number of its population is under the age of 25 and under the age of 35, right, respectively. And there is a lot of frustration among that generation. You know, we call the you know, sort of liberalization's children, because India liberalized and opened up its economy in 1991, right? Mm-hmm. And there's this whole millions and millions of young people there who've never seen, who've only seen a country that's growing and, you know, more opportunities, right? And we have many, many poor people. So there is a sense of frustration. There is a sense that, you know, we are there, but not quite there.
Yeah.
There's this joke that India is a permanently emerging country. When on earth will we emerge?
Yeah, when are we going to stop being described as an emerging economy?
That's right, and when will we emerge, right? And Mr. Modi is partly takes responsibility for raising these expectations, because, you know, he did a campaign where he said, you have a problem, tell me, I will fix it. He never said my government will fix it and the state will fix it. He said I personally will
exactly.
fix it.
Exactly. He really tried to own.
He personified those aspirations. And as somebody who comes from a very poor background, in some senses, millions saw in him as somebody who used to, as a child, sell tea in a railway station, who had come up to become prime minister. Remember, you know, I'm sure you guys talk about the Australian dream, the American dream, of course. There is also an Indian dream.
What is that Indian dream?
That
paint
Indian
a picture.
Dream, that Indian dream is this perpetual battle between a very old country, an ancient civilization, which was rich at one point, but also a young, poor country. And it needed somebody to go out there and tell them that we were rich once, we can be rich again. And that's the Indian dream. The Indian dream is, and remember, the modern Indian dream has been constructed around an elite, a small elite, exemplified by what we call Luthien's Delhi, a little bit of Delhi, right? Central Delhi, where most of the elite live. And they perpetuated the system of nepotism, where everything went from father to son, father to daughter, mother to daughter, right? All memberships are hereditary, right?
That's right. And it's incentive sapping.
There's no upward mobility.
No, not at all.
And Narendra Modi showed us that there could be upward mobility. A lot of people believe today, like they believed when President Obama came to power, if he can do it, I can do it too. And the incumbent prime minister says this. He says, if I used to sell tea, if I could become prime minister of India, you got an education. Why can't you become? But that also means, and having said so many positives, let me end with a negative note. That also means if he fails, it'll be really sad for many, many. And I think a lot of people would take it personally if he fails.
He's also a divisive figure.
Sure.
It's fair to say that he's a figure you either love or hate.
Sure.
Does that pose problems?
Oh, of course. But the idea that he's a polarizing figure is a complicated one, because some of that comes from old protracted elites, but some of it also comes from his own party and his own party's old ideology.
Yes.
So even within the BJP, the party that he represents, there are various factions fighting. There are the old conservatives within the BJP and also newer politicians who want to break free of all that and just focus on growth, 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 economy, 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 right?
Yeah.
So there's a tussle going on even, and there are a lot of factions fighting. At the moment, Mr. Modi and his factions are up ahead and they've won. And they're trying to silence, in some senses, the old conservatives. And Mr. Modi himself is trying to put his old past behind when, you know, in the 2000s, there was a riot in Gujarat and he was new as chief minister. The riot couldn't be controlled. Many people died and so on and so forth, right? But we've come very far. You also have to understand that India has come very far from that point, right? And, you know, all these years later, India is at a different juncture of its history. And some of this I'm seeing, for instance, I'm at the Australia-India Youth Dialogue. I'm astonished and delighted at the number of positive messages that I've heard and from a diverse cross-section of Australian society.
Well, I want to go to that. Yeah. How does Modi feel about the rest of the world? Is he too insular? And how is his role affecting the relationship, in your view, with Australia?
So for a long time, when Mr. Modi was chief minister of the state of Gujarat, because there was so much conflict about him, the person, and his leadership, there was a sense that he would not be welcome in certain parts of the world, right? At that time, Mr. Modi decided that he would reach out to other parts of the world where he would be welcome. And, I mean, he says today that India used to say in foreign policy, look east. He says, not just look east, we have to move east. We have to travel east. And you see that reflected in his relationship with the head of the Japanese government, Shinzo Abe. And I think he wants the same sort of impact in the Australia-India relationship. Because it's the Australia-India relationship is built on this idea of commerce, that is, and trade. We are at a juncture when India, a bit like China, is saying, we are ready to do business with anybody who would do business. Look, in India, you have to understand, Mr. Modi feels this, and his government feels this, that for a very long time, India has punched well under its weight in international affairs. And consistently, there's a feeling in India that our time has to come now.
Now, New Delhi is going to the polls the weekend after next. Why is that such a crucial test for Modi's popularity?
Well, I don't know. And if I may say so, I don't entirely agree that it's a crucial test for Modi's popularity.
But it's been framed that way.
Yes, but I don't think that's absolutely accurate. It is a big election because it is the capital of India, right? But it's a small, I mean, it's a tiny part of India. It's important because Mr. Modi realizes that if his party loses in Delhi, there will be constant opposition to him for the next 5 years or 4 years in the place where he lives. You know, there will be it's going to be that irritant consistently, which will be against him. And therefore, it's a big election for them.
It's been a pleasure talking to you. Hindal Sengupta is Fortune India's editor at large. He's also the author of 5 books. You've kept busy, including Recasting India. And he's currently in Melbourne for the Australia-India Youth Dialogue on RN Drive.